again, we congratulate those that have graduated from high school and from college. And again, I want to share a few words here in a second. I wanted to, because I forgot to during a little announcement time, apologize for breaking our technical difficulties this morning. We actually did legally purchase those songs, but for whatever reason, the platforms that we're on decided that we didn't, so they took us down. So I apologize for that. Glad that we're up and running. Those are a couple of great songs, so I'm sorry that you didn't get to maybe enjoy those this morning, wherever you're watching from. Hey, when it comes to high school graduation, do you remember that day? Do you remember that moment when you received your diploma and you graduated from high school and how excited you were to be able to go face the world? Maybe you were going off to college, maybe it was military, maybe into the workforce, whatever it was, you're just excited to receive that diploma and think, wow, for the next upteen years, for the rest of my life, I don't have to be tied to an 8-to-3 schedule and eat cafeteria food. No offense, cafeteria. I know that you do the best that you can, but you know what I mean. It was just kind of this freeing feeling that we had. And I remember a high school graduation, and it was just, I just thought, oh, I'm just going to go to college. And if you went and asked me why back then, I don't know. My brother went to college. My sister went to college. My friends that I was graduating with were going on to college. I guess it's just what I thought I was supposed to do. But I know that there are other options. People go into the military right out of high school. And some people go right into the workforce and start making some cash and start starting their life at that point. And that's great. And that's awesome. We all have different paths and different journeys that we're on when it comes to finishing up high school, becoming adults, and going out into the world. Well, Jesus shared a parable in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, there are actually three parables, but the one smack dab in the middle was called the parable of the talents. And I know that I've shared it before, but I want to share it from the perspective of new beginnings, if you will. All right, and in this parable, and a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So this is a story that the people Jesus was talking to could relate to and understand what the point he was trying to make. But the heavenly point he was trying to make was about the kingdom of God. And he said the kingdom of God is like this master who's getting ready to go on a long journey, we don't know how long, and he called his servants to him. And when his servants came to him, he gave one 5 sums of money, and one 2 sums of money, and one sum of money. And he said, I want you to manage this for me while I'm away. So they went and they did that. They went and managed those things. The servant with 5 went and managed it to the point that he doubled it to 10. And the servant with 2 went and managed it and worked and earned 2 more and made his 4. And the third one went and he said he just buried his in the sand. Well, the master came back after his long journey and the servants came rushing to him. And the first one said, Master, he said, I took those 5 sums of money that you gave me and I went and I put it to work in the marketplace. And look, it made 5 more. I now have 10. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I'm going to make you accountable, responsible for much more, much bigger things. Well, the one servant who had 2 sums of money came rushing to him and said, Master, he said, look, I worked hard, I labored, and I earned 2 more, so this 2 that you gave me are now 4. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been responsible, or you've been faithful over a little. I'm going to make you responsible over much more. Well, the third servant came, as you know the story, and he came and he said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. You gathered where you didn't sow. You reaped where you didn't plant. And he said, so I took your 1 and I just buried it in the sand. So here is what is yours. The master looked at him and said, you wicked and lazy servant. He said, if you knew that I was that kind of man, why didn't you at least go invest it in the bank so I could earn some interest? He said, take the 1 from him, give it to the one that has 10. For those who have much, even more will be given. And those that have little, even what they have will be taken away. Throw them out into the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, I heard of a young man one time, and it was actually about 30-some years ago, that he was asked to give the valedictorian speech. It was expected, of course, because guess what? He was the valedictorian. And this was before YouTube and before people were live streaming and all that kind of stuff. And he got up and he used this parable to talk to his fellow high school graduates about what it means to face the future. And that's always stuck in my mind. And I've never heard the speech, to be honest with you. I wasn't there. But it just stuck in my mind, yeah, that's a great analogy for these new beginnings when it comes to graduating high school, going into the world, graduating college, going into the world. But then I thought this week, you know, it also refers to the rest of us. Because we're all getting ready to graduate from quarantine. We're getting ready to be lifted, if you will, from this place of being tied down to our homes and in our small area, and we're getting ready to be released on the world in our area, our community, our world. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with it? Are we going to be different people than those that we started out? Are you going to be different graduating high school senior than you were when you entered kindergarten, or your freshman year of high school? College grad, or what are you going to do to tackle the world relative to where your mind was your freshman year of college when you first entered? But I think it also refers to these Christians that Paul is talking to in Rome. We have these Jewish believers and these Gentile believers. And to these Jewish believers, Paul is saying to them, listen, you've graduated from this whole idea of you're tied to this law, that this law is the only way that you can reconcile with God. You're freed from that, and now you're tied to Christ. You have a new beginning. And to these Gentile believers, he's saying, listen, I'm here to give you hope. You've been following these other gods that don't exist. They're not real. And now I'm telling you about the one true living God and his Savior, and the Savior Jesus Christ that he sent to die for us, so you too can have a new lease on life, a new hope. And so as we venture into Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 12 and going through the rest of the chapter today, I want to specifically focus on this whole idea of new beginnings. Whether you're a high school graduate or a college graduate, or you're a family that's getting ready to graduate from this quarantine, what does it look like? How can we be challenged when it comes to our next journey, our next trail that we take in this life that God has given us to live? And I want to share with you four things about what we can read in Romans chapter 8 about this journey, about this new beginning that we're going to have. And the first is that a new beginning comes with new decisions. A new beginning comes with new decisions. I've already mentioned that when you graduate from high school, you have these decisions to make. Do I just go into the workforce? Some kids are taking a gap year where they go explore the world or whatever. We had some friends at our last church, and he was from, I believe, Scotland, and she was from England. And so their kids were grew up really having known the world, you know. And so one of their sons, when he graduated from high school, his parents just allowed him to go to Europe and just basically backpack, ride trains, stay in hostels all around Europe and just enjoy the landscape of Europe. I can't even fathom what that would have been like, because I wouldn't have known a thing about where I was going. But some people take that gap year and they go do that. Some people are preparing for college and they're saving up money for that. Same as college graduates. When you come out of college and they go, right, what are my plans going to be? How am I going to find a job that can maybe, one, help me pay off these student loans, but be able to start earning money instead of spending all this money? And when we lift from quarantine, we have to think, what are the plans that God has for us to be a new people when we come out of this quarantine, a new church when we come out of this quarantine? And we have all these new plans, and that's what happens. In these new beginnings, we have new plans to say we're going to tackle some different things. And this is what Paul said, and he wrote in chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. See, despite what your plans are, you have no obligation to listen to your sinful self and to be tied to the sin that the world wants you to be tied to. Let me talk to you high school graduates real quick, all right? You are under no obligation. Now that you've graduated high school, you're going into the workforce, you're under no obligation to go live with your girlfriend or your boyfriend because the world says it's a good idea. You're under no obligation to have sex before marriage because the world thinks it's a good idea. You're under no obligation to smoke marijuana just because the community of Kalkaska is going to have it on every corner available to you. You're under no obligation to jump into a workforce and in with a group of people that don't love Jesus and start leading you astray from that. You're under no obligation to do those things. College graduate, you're under no obligation when you enter the workforce to go into huge amounts of debts and buying all these different toys, thinking that at the end, the one with the most toys wins, because that's not the case. You're under no obligation to live as the world tells you, boy, you should live like this. You should have these things. And Paul says, you're under no obligation, now that you're in Christ Jesus, no obligation to live by that sinful nature. Why? Because as that song that most of us were singing earlier that could actually see the song before YouTube took it down, the same power of God lives in us. Jeremy Camp said that in the song he sings, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to raise, lives in us. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We are now under no obligation to live as the world says we ought to live. In fact, Paul goes on to say, that's death if you live that way. You may think it's life. You may think it's fun. You may think it is the best thing that the world has to offer, but the fact is it leads to life. But he says, but if through the power of the Spirit, if you put to death those things, if you put to death your sinful nature, you're going to live. Because all that live by that Spirit that's living in us, those are the people that are children of God. Those are the people that are the children of God. The second thing I would share with you is that a new beginning comes with new fears. A new beginning comes with new fears and new anxieties. I mean, if you're graduating from high school, you might be looking thinking, all right, well, I kind of had every year planned from August to June. Now I don't have that planned out. What does it look like? What does my life look like when it comes to what my next steps are? You might say, listen, I want to go live on my own and start. You start doing some apartment shopping and you're like, wait a second, $750, $850, $900 a month? Are you kidding me? That's like a third of my paycheck, my take home after all the taxes and everything. If you're a college graduate, you might be looking and thinking, man, this economy that we're in right now, it is very up and down. And there's no guarantees that there's going to be job wanted postings all over the place as people are trying to figure out what this world's going to look like after this quarantine. And we have these new fears for families, for people that are coming out of this quarantine. The fear is there that, okay, is this thing over yet? Is this thing still going to be active and alive in our community? If I go back to church next Sunday, what are the odds that somebody's going to have it there and start sharing it with everybody? I don't know. And so we have all these new fears when it comes to these new beginnings, the unknown, what we look for around every corner. But this is what Paul says about our fears in verses 15 through 17. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Now, Paul says a couple of different things, and they're all kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. The first one is, listen, you don't have a spirit of fear. Why are you worried about what job you'll have, about clothes, about food, about rent? Why are you afraid of those things when you serve God? Why are you afraid of those things when you follow Jesus? You don't need to have that kind of spirit. Why? Because you've been adopted into his family. I've shared with you before, and I'll share it again. The heroes of this community and of the people that I've met in my lifetime, my 51 and a half years of life, are people that have adopted children as their own. They've not only taken them in and said, I'll provide some housing, some clothing, some food, but once you're 18, out the door. No, they've said, you are ours. You take our last name. If there's an inheritance left, you get a share of that. Man, I am so pleased to know people that adopt, because they take kids out of a very difficult and hopeless situation, and they rescue them. They rescue them. And if I think on earth, that's almost as close as we have to what salvation looks like. You look at any adoptive parent and you say, you rescued that child from hopelessness and gave them hope, from death and gave them life. And I would say that obviously that's what salvation is. We are destined for death because we have sin, but God adopted us into his family through Jesus, that if we'll sign those adoption papers, so to speak, and accept him as our Savior, we are heirs to his throne. We are heirs to heaven. We get to be with him forever. What does that mean? We don't have to have a spirit of fear. I know there's a lot of uneasiness, and it can bring you a lot of tension and maybe anxiety about your future. But if you ground your hopes in Christ, that fear will dissipate. The fear will start to go away. It'll get behind you. Why? Because when we're in Christ, we're in a family. We're adopted into this family of believers, and they have our back. God uses us as a church to watch over those who are his own. And so we don't have to have a spirit of fear. Now, at the end of that passage, of those few verses, Paul kind of goes the other way and says, but you're going to suffer, right? And so we think, well, wait a second, you said we don't have a spirit of fear. What about this suffering? He's saying, don't fear the suffering. Know it'll happen. But we don't even have to fear in suffering. Why? Because God's got us. Now, yeah, there will be some ups and downs. I'd love to tell you that that in the church, divorce rates are completely different than they are in the world. But the fact is, people are messy in church. I'd love to tell you that there aren't any greedy people that come to church, but there are some greedy people that come to church. I'd love to tell you that nobody at church deals with pride or lust or any of those things, but yeah. The church is made up of people that are broken, and they've come to find hope in Jesus. And what I can tell you is that even though you still may go through some of those valleys as you face the future that you have, if you do it in Christ, you have a team of people, if you will, a world of people that are believers that are ready to walk alongside you. They're ready to help point you to Jesus so that we don't have a spirit of fear about going through those uncertain times and difficult times. Instead, we go through them with confidence and with encouragement that we're suffering for the name of Jesus, not suffering for our own sake. Now, that message meant a lot more to these folks that Paul was writing to, because in Rome, persecution was going to be great for Christians. Arrests, execution, all kinds of crazy stuff that was going to happen. And in our world, it's happening in some parts of the world where people absolutely are being persecuted for being Christians. We're not going to face a whole lot of that here, but you may face some. People might call you names. People might not hire you because you're a Jesus follower. I don't know. But the fact is, we don't need to have a spirit of fear about those things, because God's got us. And he's promised us we're going to suffer. So if we do any kind of persecution, we can say, well, God did promise that. And so I guess we're going to weather that storm with him as my guide. So when it comes to getting ready for our new beginning, yes, we need to have plans. And yes, I know there will be some new fears and some uncertainties, but we don't have to have a spirit of fear because we've been adopted into God's family. Third, a new beginning comes with new dreams. A new beginning comes with new dreams. Man, I hope you're dreaming big, high school graduates. I hope you're dreaming huge. I'm going to be vulnerable with you, and this may open myself up to some persecution. But here's the deal. My dream is what Dick's Sporting Goods is now. When I graduated high school, I was ready to own the Walmart of sporting goods stores. Now, Dick's is not Walmart, right? Not that cheap. But anyway, inexpensive, I'm sorry. But that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to own the Walmart of sporting goods stores. And I wanted to go and find out what it meant to own your own business. I had no idea about retail. I didn't have two nickels to rub together. So I don't know how this dream was going to play out. It obviously didn't, for me anyway. You're welcome, Dick's Sporting Goods. But anyway, we have these dreams. When I graduated from college, that was still my dream that I wanted to do that. But my dreams also kind of evolved and changed. I dreamt about finding a Christian woman to marry, to live life with, and God introduced Lisa and I to each other. I wanted to have a family because I thought it would be cool to raise some kids and just point them to Jesus, and he gave me two wonderful sons that I love. I dreamt that these boys would grow up loving Jesus, and so far he has taken care of that, and both my boys love Jesus, and I'm just so pleased that they love Jesus first and foremost and put him first in their life. And so our dreams change as we go along, and as you're coming out of this quarantine, what are your dreams? What are your dreams for your family now that everything has been put on a timeout, that we've had to break everything down, slow everything down, grind it to a halt, and say, okay, what does family look like coming out of this? What are the new dreams that you have for pointing your kids to Jesus? What are the new dreams that you have about impacting our community, about impacting our state, our nation, our world? What are the new dreams that God has laid on your heart? I hope that you're dreaming huge about what God has in store for you. And high school graduates, that starts with you. Dream big. Just dream big. But I can tell you this, as Paul's going to share with us, if you're going to make big dreams, if you make them about you, chances are they're never going to bring satisfaction. But if you make your dreams about what God wants you to be and to do, you're going to find great satisfaction and great success as well. In Romans chapter 8, 18 through 25, it reads like this. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste for future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. When it comes to your dreams, they may come later in life. They may start out right away where you get to realize some of those. But we need to be patient. Be patient and eagerly wait on God to tell us, to share with us who it is that he wants us to be, what he wants us to accomplish in this life, what path and what journey he wants us to be on. But while we're eagerly anticipating what he has in store for us, we can always be hopeful and always be thankful that as adopted children of his, someday we'll get to be with him for all of eternity. If you only dream about things that will bring you power and you glory and you success, at the end, when you die, it's all gone. It doesn't matter. But if we dream big, thinking, Lord, what do you want of me? Then all glory is given to him. All honor is given to him. And in the end, we'll be glorified as Jesus is. And we'll be with God the Father for all of eternity. That's something that you can take to the bank. Dreams come and go. Dreams fail, dreams succeed, all kinds of things that happen. But one thing we can absolutely take to the bank is that God has prepared a place for us in heaven, that for those who call on his name, who love him with all their heart, who have subjected themselves to him, have surrendered themselves to him, there's a place waiting for us. So as we dream, whatever those dreams may be, dream with God. Dream about what he has in mind for you. Dream about the path that he has in store for you. I've been watching this Lance Armstrong 30 for 30 thing. In fact, I spent too much time last night watching the rest of it. You know, Lance Armstrong had two lives. He had his cycling life, and then he had his cancer life. He tried to mesh the two, and his dreams of the one with the cycling, all that came crashing down. Why? Because he was doping. He was cheating. But this cancer stuff, so many people's lives were impacted. Now, if you were to look at those two aspects of Lance Armstrong's life and said, if God were involved in either one of those, which one would it be? I think God was more excited about people coming together and sharing their stories of cancer survival and helping each other and encouraging each other than he was about some yellow jersey that some guy won by cheating. When it comes to your life, some dreams bring ourselves glory and honor and praise, and they're going to come crashing down. But when we dream big with God, he's right alongside of us. And at the end, whether those plans have succeeded, failed, or whatever, we know for sure that we'll be with him for all of eternity. Last thing I want to share is that a new beginning comes with the same promises. A new beginning comes with the same promises. So we have these new plans when we start a new life or come out of a new era or wherever we were, be it high school, college, or under this quarantine. And we have these new plans, and those new plans come with some fears and anxiety and not sure what's around every corner. And with those plans and with those fears come dreams, and we dream big about what God has in store for our life. But all those things come with the absolute same promises. And this is what Paul says about those promises in Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. The Holy Spirit living inside of us is praying for us. He's groaning for us. It can't even be expressed in words how much he's praying for us, living inside of us. That's an awesome promise that will never go away. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Back to that dreaming thing. When we do it for God's purpose and we're doing it for him and with him being glorified, everything will work for good. We may not like what that working out looks like, but we can know that it's for our own good. Why? Because God's called us to a special purpose. Down in verse 29, for God knew his people in advance. He chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God knew in advance that you were going to love him, that you were going to surrender to him, and he's got great plans for you. He knew you before the creation of the world. That's a great promise. Verses 31 to 32. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? If there's a promise that you just need to etch in stone somewhere, if you're going to get a tattoo in writing, this is one to have somewhere on your arm. If God is for us, who can be against us? When it comes to your dreams and your plans, as big as you might make them, if they're of God, if they're giving him glory and bringing him honor, if he's going to be for us, and if that's the case, if he's for us, who in the world is going to be against us? And the answer is no one. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing, 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 I added those extra two nothings, in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Did you hear that? Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. I got news for you. The world will dispose of you like a dirty rag. The world, once they're done with you, will forget you. They'll push you aside. That's not the way it is with God. If you are one of his children, if you've been adopted into his family, if you've surrendered to Jesus and said, he is my Savior, nothing will separate you from the love of God. And whether it's calamity you go through, as Paul says, some kind of valley, some kind of difficulty you have to deal with, getting fired from a job, not being able to find a job, maybe struggling to pay rent as you figure out a job, whatever the case may be, you'll always know that God loves you. And the best example, as Paul said, that we have of it, he sent his son to die for you. That's how much he loves you. And nobody, nothing, powers in heaven, stuff in the world, anybody, nobody can pry God's love away from you. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Paul said it again in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Why? Because nothing can separate us from God's love. And if we throw all in with God, if we follow him, pursue him, chase him, make him the focus of our dreams, him the focus of our next steps, if we will follow him to the end of the earth, to live will be all about him, and to die will be gaining him for all of eternity. As we accept our talents and live, may we be bold in our decisions, willing to suffer for Christ, and dream big, all for God's glory, until Jesus comes again. As we accept our talents and live, may we be bold in our decisions, willing to suffer for Christ, dreaming big, all for God's glory, until Jesus comes again. You know, back to the parable of the talents, one thing that I don't think we humanize that story enough, because it's a parable. Jesus is telling a story. But what if it was a real-life instance? And this master came, the boss came, and he pulled three employees and said, listen, here's $5 million, here's $2 million, here's $1 million. Put it to work. I'm going to come back, and I want you to manage this for me. What if on the day the master came back, the market crashed, And the first guy came back and said, you gave me five, and well, I got 25 cents left. Second guy comes back and says, let's see, I tried to work and earn more, but I got fired three times. I had my rent kept going up, and well, here's 10 cents left because that's all I got after trying to live and do something with this. Right? What would have happened if they did that? Well, you see, the parable of the talents is not really about money. The master would have looked at him and said, nice work. You worked hard. You put a lot of thought into where you would invest it and how you would make it grow to even more. The second guy, he'd say, man, thanks for working hard. Thanks for putting your neck on the line to get fired. Why'd you get fired? What happened? Was it for being lazy? Oh, no, I went to work every day. Tell me about that. See, it's not about the money. That's not where the duplication comes from. God wants to know who you are as a person. Do you love me more? Do you love me more than the world? Do you love me more than this sum of money that I gave you? Do you love me more than this house, than this job, than even these kids and this wife? Do you love me more? And if we live with God being the center and the focus of our adoration and our praise, one, we don't have a spirit of fear. He will make our path straight and our plan straight. He'll allow us to dream big. And in the end, whatever valleys we go through or mountains we are at the absolute peak of when this life is over, because nothing can separate us from God's love, guess what? We still get the inheritance of eternal life. Graduates, dream big. Don't live in fear. Stick with your church family because we're going to love you and guide you through it as much as we can. But most importantly, love God in all your decisions. Love your neighbor as yourself. College grad, you do the same. And church family, as we emerge, as we rise from this quarantine, may we be a different church. May we be a different church, even more focused on those who don't know Jesus and discipling those around us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I love you guys. Have a great Sunday. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your word. Father, I'm so excited for our high school graduates and our college graduates and what life has in store for them. And Father, I pray that they are so in tune with who you made them to be that their path is just going to be lit up for them as they look and say, wow, God wants me to go here. God wants me to meet this person. God wants me to marry this person. God wants me to have these children and point them to Jesus. God wants me to work in this church and be a part of this church. Lord, I pray that they're making you such a huge part of their plans that in the long run, regardless of what valleys or peaks they go through, it'll all be success because it's done for your glory and your honor. That's my prayer for them, Lord God. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to my friend Scott to close things up for us.
Hey, that's the fun thing about doing this. Hey, it works. Anyway, hi. So thank you again so much for doing this, for meeting with us, and for joining with us for all this stuff. Again, we want to invite you next week. Again, we're going to be doing it at the building. We're going to see how that's going to go. But we're going to be live streaming again. For those who saw, we had a few technical difficulties with some stuff. But again, that was just YouTube and Facebook. It's going to be up there, and you should be able to see the whole thing at 10:30. Again, we want to thank you so much for being here today, and have a great Sunday.
Hey, before we close I just want to thank these two, get your face in there, Scott and Kaylin, for running all the technical equipment over the past couple months, and Andy for broadcasting from home, and he just does a fabulous job every week. Put your head in here, Andy, so we can all see you, and... We just want to wish everybody a happy Sunday, and we look forward to seeing you in person next week, God willing. All right?
Cool.
I got to go push a button, so you got to kill time.
We can't end the stream now. Trat! Also, we did social distance. It was 6 inches, so it's okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. It's all right. All right. Again, thank you all so much. Maybe? There we go. Well, you can't kick me out.